It's Thursday when we take time to read from your letters, starting this week with one from Bert Dodson of Bradford, Vermont. Mr. Dodson writes, I can't send high enough praise for Mike Schuster's comprehensive report on the history of the Bush foreign policy. Mr. Schuster offered the clearest and most cogent overview I've heard. This kind of reporting is a vital antidote to the fragmented, context-free stream of news factoids and official pronouncements.
Scott Beliveau of Lexington, Virginia, sent this correction about Mike's report, though. He writes, although U.S. forces have borne the brunt of the fighting in Afghanistan and have been ably aided by their British brothers in arms, they have also been joined in the fight by soldiers from other nations, including a reinforced battalion of Canadian infantry, the 3rd Battalion, Princess Patricia's Canadian Light Infantry, also known as the Princess Pats.
A number of listeners objected to a characterization during an interview about the congressional debate before the Gulf War. The guest said that once the war began, lawmakers were surprised at how competent U.S. forces were because they remembered, as he put it, that bunch of stumblebums who'd gotten lost in the desert in 1980.
Bob Hill of Knoxville, Tennessee writes, his use of the word stumblebums in relation to the military personnel involved in the failed attempt to rescue the hostages in Iran was offensive and uncalled for. The military personnel who were involved in the mission were serving their country in the highest way possible. They put their lives on the line for the rescue of their fellow citizens from captivity in the U.S. Embassy in Tehran. All of the military personnel involved were and are heroes. No one should ever forget that.
Ann Kenny of Apex, North Carolina, wrote about our story on the two candidates vying to represent her state at the Miss America pageant. One of them was fighting to be reinstated after being disqualified because her boyfriend had taken topless pictures of her. In your interview with the writer from the Charlotte Observer, Ms. Kenny writes, you asked what the people of North Carolina think about this issue. He responded that they are wondering about the boyfriend. The real truth is that the vast majority of North Carolinians don't care about this silly pageant. In the days leading up to the anniversary of 9/11, and after a summer of severe drought, we have more important things to think about.
There was lots of mail about our broadcast of the Sonic Memorial, a montage of testimony, remembrances, music, and bits of sound relating to the World Trade Center. This note was from Dr. Kedrick Merwin of Fayetteville, Georgia.
For the past year, I have watched and listened with interest and dispassionate horror to all the coverage of the September 11th attacks. I generally felt that it was an awful event which happened to someone else, somewhere else. I went on with my life. That is why I was so surprised when I suddenly burst into tears while listening to the Sonic Memorial on NPR. The messages left on the answering machines struck me with such force that for the first time I started to feel the tragedy rather than just understand it. I'm not the same. Thank you for teaching me.
Finally, many of you wrote to say how much you enjoyed Andrei Kudrescu's poem titled 9/11 with Allen Ginsberg in mind, which we broadcast yesterday. With Andrei's permission, we've put the text of the poem on the All Things Considered page of our website, npr.org.
Write to us in prose or poetry. Our email address is atc@npr.org. Please don't forget to tell us where you're writing from and how to pronounce your name.